Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 11th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke, picking up on chapter 17, read by Alexander Scorby. Chapter 17, Luke, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offences will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which we ought to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or See there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight? Oh, I think you're muted. I mute you here on this end.
Yeah, I had a little pop-up jump in front of my mute here, so I couldn't unmute myself.
Well,
we have a number of questions tonight, John. First question is fairly long. Starts out, if the U.S. Constitution states in the 28 Principles of Liberty, number 14, that life and liberty are secure only so long as the right of property is secure. That was taken from the 2018 National Center for Constitutional Studies. Question one. Why then would I need a license to secure my number 8 under Principles of Liberty? Men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Please see below for reference to further explanation how I feel it infringes on my rights. You see, sir, I am not engaging in any illegal behavior on the property that I own. Taken from the Law Dictionary, that's your free online legal dictionary featuring Black's Law, second edition search, legal dictionary, legal information license, definitions, and citations. In the law of contracts, a permission accorded by a competent authority, conferring the right to do some act which without such authorization would be illegal or would be a trespass or a tort, State versus Hip, 38 Ohio Street, 220. Youngblood versus Sexton, Hubman versus State, and so on. And there's three other references. Also, the written evidence of such permission in real property law, an authority to do a particular act or series of acts upon another's land without possessing any estate therein. I've only copied that which pertains to my inquiry. There are cases stated and more in the information which can be found on that website.
All right, well, what was the question? Because I missed the question. Was that in the beginning?
Well, okay. And why would I then need a license to secure my number 8, which is the one of the 28 Principles of Liberty? Men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which are right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So why do you need a license?
Well, the answer is you don't. So, I mean,
say again, please.
The answer ultimately is you don't. You don't need it. I mean, you know, our government is out of control, but hopefully things are being repaired and fixed, and hopefully a lot of things will get better as time goes on, considering all the work Trump is doing. The key problem here, that if we don't fix, then everything that Trump is doing is in vain. and that is the courts. If the courts don't get fixed, if they don't return back to courts of justice, then America is lost. And I do believe Trump understands that, and I do believe he's working on that. We can see he's looking to make major changes in the federal courts. So we'll see once what happens as time goes on. I mean, we are really pressing forward towards getting courts of justice in the federal courts, and that'll permit us to have courts of justice all the way down to the grassroots level in the state courts and county courts and so on. Because we can use the federal courts to champion the Constitution, because that is their job. That's their main job, is to champion the Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights. So we'll see how things go. But you don't need a permit to do anything, any of these things. And you don't need a permit to do anything you want, as long as you don't interfere or injure another person. You do what you please. But of course, powers that be at the moment don't agree with that. All right. And by the way, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on the phone, it's a *6 and a 1. If you're on an app or a browser, should be a button to get into the queue. All right. Is there another question? How many questions did you say we had tonight?
I think there's three more.
Okay.
The next question. Is on rabies vaccination. If the vaccination is safe and effective, why would it be needed again, and why would some dogs be dying from it? COVID taught us so much about the inability of some healthcare industries to do no harm. Please see Dr. John Robb, veterinarian, ProtectThePet.com for an Epic TV report, NTD Tonight. I am a victim of gang stalking and other attacks, which is why I find this near and dear to my heart. My dog is up to date on rabies vaccine, but that was before all the information is being reported about why this may not be the best. I also received a reminder email about my dog license needing renewed from my local Clearfield County official, Jeffrey Snell. Please let me know if you and any other colleges would be willing to take this up as part of your election promises to change these practices.
All right, well, as far as the dog license is concerned, I've never really given much thought of it. I don't know why it should be a necessity. Maybe there's a good reason for it, and I don't know it. So if anybody else does, maybe they can bring that up. As far as the rabies vaccination, I've had my dogs inoculated for that. But I've learned a while back that it doesn't need to be done any more than once. And probably the reason for doing it multiple times is probably making money. But I don't know the answer to that. But I have not gone for a second time for a rabies vaccination with any of my animals. So, I don't know. Rabies is far and in between, but it is still out there. As far as being a problem, as far as potentially killing a dog, I don't know anything about that. I have not heard about that. So if anybody wants to enlighten us on that, that'd be fine too. Okay, next question.
In Pennsylvania, we have a Bill 900 to amend the PA Constitution being presented that repeals property tax starting 2030. Why would we need to have an amendment when the property tax is against the U.S. Constitution? Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2. Wouldn't it just be revealing the truth?
Yeah, I would agree with that conclusion. There would be no need for repealing it. It's null and void because it's repugnant on its face. It's repugnant to, first of all, property, as someone mentioned earlier in one of the questions, is one of the main rights that we have, the right to property. And that includes a lot of things. And to tax our property would mean that you don't own your property. So, yeah, it is a problem. They should probably repeal it anyway, but why wait till, what they say, 2030, I think? Why wait till then? Do it right now. It's repugnant. So, to the Constitution, it's repugnant to the common law. So I would agree that it's a problematic thing. I think that's something that's going to be dealt with very soon anyway, because that really has a lot to do with Britain and others involved with that. That's really because there's a connection with property tax and funding a lot of that money over to Britain. That's been problematic, and right now I know Trump is in the middle of a major war, so to speak, with Britain and others. Some of the European connections. So we'll see how that turns out. I think that's going to disappear very quickly, just like the income tax is going to disappear shortly. And also with that, any tax on income ultimately, but the Federal Reserve, with that, the Federal Reserve, that also is unconstitutional, needs to be done away with. It's against the law for foreigners to own any ownership in the banking system, and yet they do. The Federal Reserve is owned by mostly foreigners. So, anyway, next question.
My local municipality just doubled our assessment value and cut the mill rate by half. I spoke to a commissioner about it, and he said they did that because they were at the cap of 25 mills, and instead of going to court, they did this to resolve the issue of not being able to raise our school property tax. I mentioned the possibility of finding other means of funding the local municipality and asked if he would be willing to inquire with a Pennsylvania representative. He said he would. What are your thoughts about the legality of this action?
Well, any tax, no matter what they claim it's going to, whether it's going to school or, education, whatever, it's all unlawful. There are plenty lawful ways to collect tax, and ultimately, I don't think any of this tax money goes to schools, per se, or to assist in that. They get funding from numerous ways. They get funding from the state through taxes that are lawful, like sales tax and some other taxes. They also get money from the federal government through lawful taxes again. So why would they need to tax the property? Again, it's just another way to make money. It's not necessary. But, again, I see this as something that's going to disappear too, because, again, it gets back to the same thing. If you don't pay your taxes on your property, after all, you have to pay for the education, some will lie. But anyway, you don't pay those taxes, they're going to do a foreclosure on you and take your property away, which again brings us right back to the same problem. Okay, they're taking the property, first of all, without due process, unlawfully also, very specifically, because again, if you're taxed and they take your property away because you didn't pay, then you don't own your property. Same thing, same answer. So, okay, I don't know what a mill rate is. Do you know what they're talking about with a mill rate?
I didn't understand what you said, John.
The word mill, it sounded like you said a mill rate, M-I-L-R-A-T-E, mill rate or something.
The mill rate, yeah.
But what is that? Does anyone know? Because I don't.
Well, that's how many, assessed value of, say, $1,000 at 25 mills, it might be $25.
Okay.
Tax that year, and so if you raise it to 50, then it doubles the tax on it, or if you raise the assessed value by factor of two, it doubles the tax on it. But they have a cap. I think a lot of places do that of 25 mills, and so just to get around it the easy way, they just reassess your value and then lower the mill rate. And it comes out the same, except now you're valued at twice the property, and I don't know what that does to your insurance rates and everything else,
Yeah, well, the games that they play. All right, any other questions, or is that it?
Nope, that was it, John. You're free.
Okay. All right. Well, we have one person in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, again, star 6 and 1, you're coming in on a phone, and there should be a button there to join the queue if you're on an app or a browser. So we'll take our first caller, and hopefully others will get into the queue. Otherwise, maybe we'll find something to discuss. John, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Good to see you, John.
Yeah, millage is from millage, but that's a thousandth, John. So that's how you get it. 10 mils is 10 thousandths or 1/100th. So whatever that value is, they assess it. You multiply that by the millage rate, and that's what it comes up. That's what he said. 25 mils would be $25 a thousand. So if your property is assessed $100,000, that's $2,500. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm just curious. What do you put the stuff that's going on with what Trump is doing? I mean, is this devolution? Where are we at exactly on this? Do you have any idea?
We're really in there pretty deep. It's going to get hot and heavy, I think, soon. The heat is rising. The enemy now knows that they're done. They talk. I know Q talks about suicide weekend. At some point in time, a lot of these people are going to commit suicide. Some people will try to flee the country. I don't think there's anywhere for them to run because this is not just in the United States. We're looking to deal with the New World Order worldwide and the deep states in every single country because the deep state is entrenched in most countries. I think the one place where they haven't been successful is really in Russia. I'm sure they tried, but they have not been successful with that. And Trump, of course, is working with Russia. It's very interesting what's going to be happening up there in Alaska. Not sure exactly what that's all about. Devolution, we have over 450,000 sealed indictments. I think many of those indictments, at least the people that are working in the government particularly, I think will be judged by the military. I mean, it'll take really a long time to deal with all these people and to work out the problems with how we're going to deal with the punishment. I mean, it's going to be a lot of people, it'll be an economic burden also. But this is treason at the highest level. Overturned the president, so they overturned the government of the United States. And this goes back to 2016, 2017, Trump's first administration was really held back by these people. They've done everything they could to stop him. He was surrounded by the enemy. But he's well prepared this time around. Yeah, the devolution is way in play at this moment, and we're going to see a lot of movement legally and potentially, of course, militarily wise too soon, sooner than later. And I do feel, one of the big problems, a lot of people are, anxious and why haven't we done this yet? Why haven't we done that yet? Look, justice takes time. You got to get together evidence. You have to get your ducks in a row. There's a lot of things that have to be done. You have to prepare the court so that we can have courts of justice. Right now, we don't have courts of justice. That becomes a problem. Another reason why this may be military trial. Maybe it's military trial across the board, because, again, it is treason. And that would solve that problem with the judges. I know Trump is putting a lot of new judges here in New York, thank God. We don't have any of these judges. They're all corrupt to the core. But we'll see what happens with these people, too.
Are they taking the New York out and putting new ones in? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think he's filling vacancies. We know that. I don't know the details on people coming out and going in. I do believe, and we did in a presentment, I'm pretty sure in our presentment, we did make the mention they all got to go, every single one of them. And depending on how conversations go tonight, maybe I'll get into looking into the presentment we did to President Trump concerning this problem particularly, which is the judicial system. But Yeah, it is a major problem, so we're going to have to deal with that. If we don't get rid of these judges, and let's think about this a little bit, every single one of them is committed treason. Every judge up there, when they close the courts of justice and close the doors and refuse people access, denied us due process, and many people have lost homes, all kinds of properties, they've lost their, some lost their lives, some imprisoned, and all these things. That is treason at its highest event, in its highest term.
Well, if it had been done to them, they'd be up in arms. You know, I mean, so.
Oh yeah.
In effect, that's for sure. So I mean, it's so much horse hockey, really is. You know, I mean, and somebody has to. Not being vindictive, but somebody's better pay for it. I mean, there's everything that they got should be taken away if they did that to other people. You know.
Absolutely, and it's got to come to us. You know, it's got to be distributed. You know, and it's a worldwide thing, so it's not just the Americans that have been injured by these people. It's everyone in the world has been injured by these people. But devolution, in a sense, has already started. We can see the military movements on the borders. That's kind of part of devolution to some degree. We now see that law enforcement and potentially some military movement in Washington, D.C., in order to bring crime under control and bring federal city to where it belongs. But another thing that needs to be done, and we know that they've been working on this, there's a lot of sleepers in our government, in all of the alphabet soup, agencies. And I do believe they are working diligently trying to expose who's who and doing this. We can believe, for instance, the FBI, the CIA, and other types of, justice-type agencies. Well, it's supposed to be justice anyway. You know, I got to believe that they're giving these people a lie detector test. They do it anyway to begin with, to find out, if they're traitors or not. But not only that, I do believe there's a lot of whistleblowers. I think there's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of paper trails. But all that has to be investigated and gone through and we've got to clean house. Otherwise, if we don't clean house before we start to really execute this program, we're going to have a lot of problems doing what has to be done because they will be subverting us from within inside in all of the things and actions that we might take.
You got to clean house, you got to clean Senate too, okay?
Absolutely. I think, look at most of these people, I think, are going to jail. They're guilty of so many things. I mean, insider trading, just to begin with, is a major problem. But, yeah, look, at when you have a complete party, the Democrat Party completely, 100%, moving in one accord, going against what is totally logical, which totally makes sense to help protect our children, to save children from this all these problems that's going on with these sex trades, but not only children, also women, and all of these illegal things, blocking or preventing or standing up for things to prevent the government from getting rid of all the illegal aliens, trying to get them, arrested and out of our country. All of that is subversion, too. It's a major problem. But that tells you that the entire Democratic Party is lost, which means most probably they have something on every one of them. You know, some real good dirt that these people are just going right on. They're committing political suicide to begin with. But it's not just the Democrats, it's the Republicans too. There's a lot of Republicans that are the enemies. And I do think, I think there's going to be a real big sweep, but before they can sweep, the House and the Senate, before they can do that, they really got to continue to drip out all of these things that these people have been doing. And I think what is really going to get things going is when they start to do things on all of these pedophiles and what's going on with the slave sex and expose some of these people. That's when I think America is really going to kind of come together, at least on that issue, to wake up finally. And a lot more things have to happen and where people start to realize how corrupt this is. You know, I know when I was younger and listening to the adults back in those days, and even when I was a teenager and a young adult, you know, there's always been the attitude of the people how corrupt this government is, and sick and tired because you elect these people to do something, they never do it. They say one thing and do another. I mean, this has been something I've heard all my life, and until I became involved and started to see the same thing, yeah. But, you know, people today, I don't know, with all of the fake news and people listening, I mean, I can't even believe that there are still people that think that Trump is evil or something, and, you know, they got this problem. But, you know, I think, you know, when you get to people, a lot of people that are, I don't know, I'm taking a guess, a shot in the dark, so to speak, anyone 40 and under, maybe even older than that, it's like they're not seeing this. They're not realizing this. It's just, you know, and not everybody, of course, but, you know, a large enough majority that creates a problem.
That's my question. What percentage of the people do you think are really believing this horse hockey that's going on, they're talking about? I mean, you know, I mean, you talk about somebody who says, well, should these people be deported? I said, well, they haven't broken any laws. This is, they broke a law when they broke into the country illegally, okay? By definition, they're here illegal. They're breaking a law. Get them out. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm sure there's some good people in there. You know what I mean? You know, there's ways to come back in if you broke in here illegally. What percentage of the people? I mean, are the bleeding hearts, whatever you want to call them, really, really believe in this nonsense? I mean, is it 50%? Is it? I mean, are we 30%? Are us thinking clearly, if you want to call it that, or? I'm really just curious, because I've run into many, many people, you know, and say, well, you know, we're not going to do anything, we can't do anything, and I'm just curious what your take on the numbers are.
Well, I heard as much as maybe 30, maybe even more than that, 35%, but maybe 30%. You know, the big problem is ignorance. They're sold a bill of goods that they don't understand. You know, anybody who really understands who we are as a people, what a court of justice is, how our courts are supposed to work, what our founding fathers actually gave us, what the Constitution actually says, the rights of the Bill of Rights and how that expands or extends onto hundreds and even thousands of rights that we have, you know, the ignorance of that, and then they're sold a Bill of Rights, you know, it's a feeling thing, you know. They always tell a sad story about the person that's being arrested, maybe, but they're not telling you the other side of the story, that they murdered someone or that they, you know, did something to a child or whatever the case may be. So that lie is out there, but people, look, we're not thinking no more, and it's getting worse. I mean, you know, I don't know at what age people are less to fall into that trap. I'd say maybe 50 or so. But people younger than that, of course, will not fall into the trap, you know, to some percent. I have no idea what that percent would be. But the problem is lack of education, not understanding, not seeing and understanding who we are as a people, what our founding fathers actually gave us. You know, even Jefferson spoke about that if only the people really understood what we gave them, you know, never before in the history of the world, the liberty, the freedom, the protection. And that was, you know, that knowledge was growing throughout, you know, from the time of founding fathers started to, you know, built this nation and as time went on. But it was in the beginning of the 20th century that things really started to head to hell in a basket, because they started to affect our education and control of the media. All that took place in the early part of the 20th century. Although they've been working behind the scenes going back to 1750, which is even before we became the United States of America. We were still colonies back then. But they were already working on the destruction of the mindset of the American people. So, yeah, as far as a number, yeah, I think maybe 30% might be about right where people are. But hopefully that's going to become less and less. Again, what's going to make these people turn is to see the evil. Wait till they find out about that these people are actually Satanists. The people at the very top, they're all Satanists. And the horrible and horrific things that they've been doing, you know, even human sacrifice, babies. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And to people who aren't aware of this, that sounds crazy. It sounds insane. You know, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, these people, you know, they haven't been paying attention. And, of course, they've been indoctrinated by the fake news. And that's been going on since I was a kid, even way before that.
I got news for you. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, all those were human sacrifices, okay?
Well, that's true to a major degree, yes, because they were all created by the elite. It's a money-making thing. Also divides people, takes down the population, and they make a lot of money at it at the same time. So, you know, yeah.
The best thing we could possibly do for veterans is just stop making new ones.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. But that's never going to happen. You know, there'll always be, you know, security that we need. We need that security. But look at, there was World War One was caused by the elite. World War Two was caused by the elite. The whole thing was a setup. Korea, Vietnam, all these wars caused by the elite. And it just goes on and on. Now, you see Trump is moving around changing these things and trying to bring peace to the world. He will succeed. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So he will succeed at that.
Well, I grew up during the Vietnam War. I mean, I was 18 about the time it was winding down, and there was 50-some thousand guys, women, mostly guys, killed in that thing. And last year, there was probably 150,000 people, and that was over 20 years. There was like 150,000 people from all different ages were killed by fentanyl. I mean, if he had 150,000 guys killed in Vietnam 1 year, what happened down there would look like a joy party. I mean, it was crazy. And I just find it hard to believe that people are putting up with this stuff. I'm just nuts.
Again, it's ignorance. They got the fake news. They're in bliss. They're too busy looking at their stupid phones and just getting lost in that. Wait till they get their robots, because then they don't have to think at all. Wait till they start implanting things into the brain, and they really don't have to think at all, because they just be told what they need to know. I mean, it goes on and on. As far as the fentanyl is, we're going to see a major change in this. I not that I heard anything. I have heard a few things. So first of all, Trump has made these drug dealers terrorists. So that's the first step. They're terrorists. And there is a war going on, and that war is assaulting us here in this nation. They are coming into this nation, and they are bringing fentanyl, and people are dying, you know, left and right here. I think he's setting the stage, and at the proper time, again, he's got to, everything has to be done in timing. He's got to get the people on his side as he makes major moves. Once he can get 50 to 60 to 70% of the people on this issue or on that issue or on another issue, that's when he can really make the move. I do see the day coming, and I do think it's very, very close, that we're going to be doing a lot of airstrikes down in Mexico. We're going to take these SOBs out. And I don't, you know, I think the government down there, unless it's totally corrupt, and that is probably probably the case, but maybe not, you know, to some degree, maybe they'd like to see something done right. Maybe they're not corrupt, or they are corrupt to a degree, but would like to maybe change it. I don't know. The government may complain down there, but they're not going to do anything. First of all, they're not capable of doing anything. And we're not going against the people. We're not going against the government. We're going against these people that are destroying our nation with fentanyl and other drugs. So on the one end, they'll be complaining because they got to look good. Otherwise, they probably would lose their lives if they didn't defend these people. But on the other end, maybe they're thankful for that because, secretly speaking, and they'll be able to finally shake these people up because, you know, Mexico and a lot of places in South America, those governments are not run by people who are for the people. It's run by criminals. This is, you know, organized crime at its highest event. And, you know, one of the most powerful organized crime syndicates ever to be on the face of the earth was the U.S. government. But I think that is pretty much coming to an end now.
Well, yeah, my brother was, his wife was from Mexico, and I went down there to south of Laredo a couple weeks with him years back, and you know it was corrupt as hell down there. It was terrible. I mean, it was very free, but it was very corrupt. You know, the drug company or drug runners ran everything down there. They had the Federale police, but you know, the drug runners were in charge of everything. It was scary. You didn't want to be down there.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. All right, we got some people in here now. Anything final, John? Because we have to move on.
That's all. I'm just curious what's going on here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Have you been listening to X-22? I mean, X-22 is probably one of the best news out there, but not the only one. There's quite a few of them. There's a guy out there that seems to have some connections because he's coming up with stuff that others aren't, and he's getting access to places that others haven't been, and that's a guy, Benny, okay? I just found him recently, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, and I've been listening in. He gives a lot of good news. But X-22, I think, is one of the top news. They really are on top of things, and I don't know where they're getting some of their information. It's very consistent. Also, they're laying out the consistency with Q. And you know, Q had always said when Q was active, as far as putting things out, that the future will prove the past. And so everything that Q had said, which is military intelligence, by the way, that is the highest level of security, I guess, you know. Highest level is Q, the Q level, and that's military. And so that tells you a little bit about something about Q in itself. But everything that Q has said in the past is, you know, it's like daily news today. And these people, you know, Dave from X-22 being one of them, and others, bringing this stuff up on a daily basis. This is what you said way back when. Look at this is what's going on now. Even predicted things on very specific dates and timing, and a big focus on August. And we are starting to see August is starting to get hot. And that's what Q was talking about. August is a very hot month. And the president has used the word hot or hottest or hottie numerous times over the past few weeks. So it's very interesting. So, yeah, things are in gear. I see it coming. It's going to come down like a tsunami soon. But again, you know, it's got to trickle out. You got to give the people time to digest this. You got to win people over. People have to, you know, talk about it. But when the real hardcore finally comes, I think that'll be when they have control of the agencies. And then at that point, that's when the tsunami is really going to come. The tsunami of knowledge of what's going on and what these people have been doing. And reality is in this world has been created for you by these people. They have created the reality of you living. So they control our media, they control our entertainment, the music industry, you know, Hollywood, everything. They've controlled it all, the education, they've controlled it all.
So. Well, they have for decades and decades and decades, too, so.
Yes. Again, there was a major move in this back in the beginning of the 20th century, you know. You know, once we got into the 20s and 30s, that's when they were buying up news medias throughout the whole, you know, nation. They syndicated things, and when you have the national news systems, they've owned it all. They've controlled the education. They moved education control under the federal government, and they've been controlling the education where children will learn. We don't learn about the Constitution. We don't learn about the Bill of Rights. We don't really learn about our founding fathers, who we are as a people. We don't learn who the king of the fort is. We don't learn any of these things. We don't learn even about the grand jury and the trial jury. And they teach people that these clowns from the Bar Association that taken control of our courts and corrupted the entire system, all these judges are bar attorneys, and they've been, the controlled as far as their thinking is concerned and what they can do, and they have destroyed the courts, and there's a lot of work to be done. So people, when they get upset and not moving fast enough, You know, a lot of, you know, the problem before was people who didn't know, and you couldn't get people. You were called a crazy. You were called a conspiracy theorist. Now the problem seems to be shifting a little bit and becoming the problems who have been, the people who have been informed, okay, you know, and do know what's going on. And now they just don't want to wait no more. They want justice now. They want this. They, you know, they're missing it. They need to slow down and realize that this takes time. It's going to take time. And you got to clean house before you can take over.
All right, go on to the next question. We'll go from there, okay?
I'm sorry?
I'll yield when we get on to the other questions. I'm sure there's other good questions coming, so.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay. Next caller. Next one is anonymous. If you can give us your first name and your state, it'd be good.
Hi, John. Farid from California. How are you?
Good. California. What's your first name?
Farid.
Farid. Okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah, regarding the question that one of your listeners asked regarding the elevated taxes, if I were in that situation, I would subpoena the annual comprehensive financial report, which is a set of U.S. government financial statements comprising the financial report of a state, municipal, or other government entity that should comply with accounting requirements by the Government Accounting Standard Board, GASB for short. In doing so, I'm pretty sure that they would not comply. And then I would supplement that with a FOIA, or in California, is California Public Records Act. And if they do not comply with that, then I would file an affidavit with the Attorney General or with the Pam Bundy or the FBI for concealment under 18 U.S.C. 2071. And then I would continue down that path, knowing the fact that every government entity has invested in securities. In other words, the annual comprehensive report will show that they are also guilty of securities fraud and insider trading, because they're basically controlling both sides of the deal. So it's something that if somebody uses it properly, it can yield to many good outcomes, not only for himself, but for his community as a whole.
Okay, and do you have a question there?
No, this was just a comment.
Okay, all right. Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we appreciate that. And, you know, the key, of course, to taxes being a problem upon the people is in the Constitution concerning direct tax. So all of this stuff is illegal, and the government doesn't really need all this money. You know, when Doge was out there, and it's still operating, but in any event, you know, when a lot of that was in the news, and they were revealing where a lot of this money was going, and, you know, it was really going for the purpose of destruction of the United States of America. So most of the taxes that they collected for that purpose, all these illegal taxes. And we're talking billions upon billions and trillions of dollars used to destroy us. And it's for, so we've been paying for our own demise, our own destruction, and also the destruction of the world ultimately. So
yeah, this CAFR will show that they have plenty of money, even though they have plenty of money that they do not disclose.
Oh, yeah.
Still asking people for additional taxes. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much everybody in this republic is owner in fee simple, and he or she is not a tenant. But you only pay taxes when you're not an owner, but a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would rely on the land patents and Article 6, Clause 2, and basically try to eliminate the taxes. If enough people do that, then property taxes are going to diminish. But if single people like myself or others do, then you might not get enough traction in these corrupt courts.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, therein is the problem with the corrupt courts. But look at, you know, at some point in time, and I think it's going to be pretty soon, maybe a year or so, maybe less, I don't know. But it's going to happen, you know, that all these unlawful taxes will no longer be. And it has to be that way, because either we're going to go back to the Constitution or we're not. And that's what we're fighting for. That's what the Trump administration is fighting for, is to bring us back to the Constitution. And to bring us back to the Constitution is to be obedient to the Constitution. And the Constitution denies all of these unlawful taxes. They have to go. It denies the Federal Reserve. They got to go. It denies the IRS. It's got to go. And we see that Trump is turning this whole thing upside down. So, you know, it's only a matter of time. But we have to go back to gold and silver, because that's what the Constitution says. That's the only lawful money. And in the history of man, nothing has ever worked that they tried to use to make money other than, well, actually two things. Bartering was one, of course, if that worked. But again, you know, if you can barter something with a few people who want to buy something that they don't want to barter with you, that becomes a problem. You know, so money is necessary. And the only thing that really ever worked and has been working for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, way BC, before Christ, you know, and that ultimately is the gold and silver. It's biblical money. It's Bible money. It goes way back. So it's found in the Bible very early on, and that's the only thing that ever worked. Nothing else ever has. We have some documentaries. I do believe it's on our civics course. Trying to think of the name of the documentaries, but it has to do with money. I think the money changes or the money something or other, and I think there's got to be at least two or three parts to it. I think we have it in our civics course. It's videos. And it goes to explaining money, going all the way back to biblical money, and all many, many different things that man has tried to use as money, and shown that it always fails all the time. The only thing that ever worked is silver and gold. Even the dollar, look, once we came off the silver and gold, that was it. Look at the inflation. Look at the problems. But remember, that was all created for a purpose, and that's to destroy us economically destroy us. You know, as well as morally destroying us, educational wise destroying us. You know, no problem. All right. Anything? Any final point before we move on? Are we done?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Okay, let's go to next caller. It looks like Kimberly from Georgia, I think. You got the mic. Let me push that button. You got the mic. Go ahead. Kimberly from Georgia, is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I actually have about 3 to 4 points I wanted to get in if I could. First of all, this is an amazing conversation. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Like, do we need this in every day of our lives? I do. I'd like to have coffee with somebody that I live close to every single day and just discuss this.
Get somebody's safety going.
Huh?
Are you familiar with what we're doing with committees of safety, the grassroots movement?
Okay, yeah, I've seen that on the website. Yes, CLS.
Well, let's make your points, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about that too. But good, you had 3 or 4 points you want to make.
Sure, thank you. Okay, so they are relevant to what's actually been discussed already. First of all, I see here this. You said something about the timing that's going on right now. August is a hot month. Something about suicide time. What can you do? You remember that, and can you touch on that again? There's a lot of stuff. Is that going to be the political people that's going to be kind of like suicide, or
well,
is it
yeah.
just like people?
Suicide month is something that is brought up by Q. Okay. And Q is military intelligence, and they've been feeding people some information going back to late 2017, maybe early 18, and through 19, I believe, also. But these people have been is so guilty of so many things, and have done some horrific things, and they're traitors to the country, and they're being exposed. And at this point, and a lot of these people also, you know, they've been bribed and blackmailed. A lot of this has to do with maybe a lot of, you know, problems with pedophilia. And so they hold these things over these people, a lot of elected people and people, and not just in the federal government. This goes all the way back to every down to every state government, all 50 states. So the problem is really big. And at some point, when the tsunami of truth starts to really come down, that was one of the things that Q had said, that we're going to see a suicide weekend. There's going to be a time period where a percentage of these people are going to kill themselves and so they don't have to face the trials and face the exposure and potentially the penalty, too. You know, the penalty for treason is hanging. You know, I think we're going to see a lot of people that are going to fall. You know, there's different degrees even with treason, okay, bear in mind that. So the people that really are hardcore into this, and those are the people that we're really focusing in now, you know, the Biden administration, you know, and many, many people, you know, people, of course, the senators and congressmen. A lot of people in the Democrat Party and quite a few people, I'm sure, in the Republican Party, too, and Obama's and his administration, you know, all these people that were holding powerful positions, the CIA, FBI, and so on, you know, they're going to all, they need to hang. I mean, because they clearly planned this and executed this, and they're at the top of the game here. So these people must hang. And I don't see any way to get around other than military tribunals. It has to be done military tribunals. Now, again, on the very low end of things, you know, I'm sure that's going to go through the regular legal system. But it can't go through the legal system until we can get rid of the judges. A lot of these judges need to be arrested. I think every single one of them have to be removed without exception. And then the replacement of any of these judges cannot be bar attorneys. Now, they could be part-taught, but they have to really come to appreciation and understanding that the bar has been working relentlessly since its inception, going back to 1750, that they have really been just for the sole purpose of destroying our courts, our common law courts to begin with, and to cripple the government here. Well, back then we were colonies. And, of course, eventually we became the United States of America. And nothing changed. They continued. And they've had their claws, their tentacles into our government from the very beginning. They're the ones that continued and maintained slavery. They're the ones that brought slavery, you know, to America's shores to begin with. They're the ones that were pushing for a Federal Reserve and an income tax and all of those things. You know, they didn't want courts of justice. They don't want juries. They don't want a grand jury. You know, they even tried to move where they wanted the, you know, groups of bar judges to be the grand jury. I mean, there was a movement for that too, as close back going back to 1938 particularly. You know, so they've been working overtime. The Democrat Party, the purpose of the Democratic Party. Was to try to change this into a democracy and from a republic, not to be a people of the law, but the people of, being a democratic process where 50% rules. And even though, you know, these people have been ruling by majority constantly, getting into office, it's all been treating. It wasn't even a real majority anyway. But they keep going on and on discussing our unalienable rights. They want to talk about our freedom of speech, and they want to limit that, and the right to have a weapon, and going to church, especially, you know, they tried to shut us down during the plague that they brought to us. And I mean, things go on and on and on. They just don't stop because they're trying to destroy us. But anyway, the Democratic Party began in the very early parts of our nation. It was 1801, 1807, somewhere around 1809, somewhere around there. But before that, they were the Federalists. And the Federalists, it sounded like they were good. I mean, you know, the Anti-Federalist ultimately was Jefferson and Madison. And even Jefferson said, hey, look, if we're really all Federalists, You know, all they did is they took the name and they just started to just try to destroy us, to move the slavery into the thing, into the conversation, to maintain slavery in America as we were trying to create a nation. Also, to get rid of the republic, and they wanted to bring us into a democracy. And so eventually that Federalist party morphed into the Democrat Party. And that's why in the minds of a lot of people, you think we're a democracy. You listen to the news. You listen to all these people that we've elected. They don't call us a democracy. We're not a democracy. Never was. Not even an inkling of a democracy, our founding father said. You know, Benjamin Franklin said democracy is two wolves and a lamb trying to decide what's for dinner. A republic is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Okay? So, you see, you can't have, it's like trying to mix water and oil. So some of these people, being so confused, they say, well, we're a democratic republic. No, we are not a democratic republic. Just because we elect people, you know, to office by majority vote, that's just common sense. That does not make us a democracy. You know, a democracy allows us, you know, well, allows the people we elect to decide for us who we are and what we do, to decide what rights we might have. And that's why they debate our rights of having a weapon and freedom of speech, and what we can say, what we can't say, and where we can say it. You know, all these things that they debate, they don't have the authority to debate that. It's already been settled. It's been settled in the Constitution, where we the people declared, we the people ordained and established the Constitution. We listed out their powers, listed out their authorities. Don't overstep that, and don't overstep this. But they just trampled all over it. 80 to 90%, maybe even higher than that, of everything they do, okay, is unlawful. All of this legislation, unlawful. Senators, every one of these senators are unlawful. They don't belong in power and authority. They had to take away the power and the authority of the states through the 17th Amendment to bring in these senators by popular vote. The balance of power was the state was to have a say as well as the people. Okay, if the people made an error, the state could be there to fix, make the fix, and prevent it from going on. And and it's also the other side. If the state makes the mistake, then the people on the congressional side, they can prevent it from happening. And there was a balance of power. They totally destroyed the balance of power through the 17th Amendment. And what did they do? They put it out to the people to be elected by the people and controlled by these special interest groups. They're all, a lot of them paid off. The Democratic Party on that level in the Senate is just as bad as in the congressional side. And a lot of Republicans have sold their souls to the devil. I mean, look, it's a mess. And there's a lot of work to do. And people don't see this. They don't know these things because they're not thinking about these things. They're kept busy doing something else. They're kept busy playing something, playing with their stupid phones. You know, they call them smartphones, but they're not smartphones. I got a smartphone. It's a flip phone. That's what my smartphone is because I can think now. I don't have to go there. I don't spend my time looking at that glass and my thumbs moving back and forth doing all these stupid things. I see this all day long. People don't think. They don't think. And they tweet. They don't read. It's really serious. To some degree, it's not their fault. They're being controlled. But they need to wake up. And if we don't wake up soon, this whole nation is going to be totally lost. You know, we're about to lose our children totally. They demoralize them enough already as it is. They don't get a proper education at all. They have no clue who we are as a people. They don't know who they don't even know who the first president of the United States is. They don't know the difference, between the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. They don't know who our founding fathers were. They don't know what the Constitution says. They don't know what the Bill of Rights says. They don't know what the Declaration of Independence says. It's the foundation of our law. They don't know what law is. And we're in big trouble.
You are saying a mouthful, and the Department of Education was mentioned today, so hopefully that's going to be reconstructed as well for the government in our schools, leading them to teaching them whatever they want to be teaching them instead of the things that you're mentioning.
Well, it's going back to the grassroots level. That's what they're doing. They're sending it back to the states to go back to the parents, to the grassroots level where it used to be. That's what they're doing. That's why Trump has gotten rid of the Department of Education. And but the people are not up to par. They're not involved in their in the grassroots and controlling the government. All the political process is in the grassroots level. We control everything from the grassroots level. And if you want to, our children ought to have a proper education, then the parents have to be involved. And they have to get into the committees of safety. There has to be a group of people within every county pushing for the right thing. And that's not gonna and that's called government by consent. And that's one of the foundations in the Declaration of Independence, that we have government by consent. And so if we don't exercise our unalienable right of government by consent, then we're not going to have government by consent. And right now, we do have committees of safety moving, a couple of hundred of them in process, but that's not enough. Look at, people just don't seem to want to do it. Well, guess what? As Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. You're not going to have it. You expect what never was and never will be. So you can't have liberty. Liberty costs some of your time and a few dollars, some of your money to support whatever movement you're doing within your county, within your local level, to take control of the government. We need to go to the schools and bring these people under thumb of the people. If they don't be obedient, we can remove them with a writ. Goodness, I can't think of a writ at the moment. But in any event, we can write writs and have them removed if they don't respond. So habeas corpus doesn't exist no more. They don't honor habeas corpus, so they pick you up, they put you in jail, you write a habeas corpus, and they don't permit it. And a habeas corpus, that challenges the authority of what you're doing in jail. Where's the proof? What's the true charges? And where's the proof that these charges exist? So anyway, people need to learn and read again. And I don't know whether we can bring people back to that. Children should not be given smartphones. It's too destructive. They're not old enough to handle a smartphone. Okay, and look at, they need to be given books again. At least what I've seen around me where I'm at here in New York, children don't come home with books no more from school. A lot of the stuff they'll get off the fly off the internet, I've seen. Teacher will say, they have a place where they go. Okay, we got this, they download the papers on the internet, and then they, work that out, I guess, on the computer, or I don't think they actually put in any paperwork, so the parents don't see what's going on. It's spoon-fed daily to the children. We don't know what they're teaching them. I've gone to the school to pick up my nephew, some years back, and they were doing political demonstrations in the halls. I said, what the heck is that? It's really pretty sick. Okay, nobody's paying attention, so we're going to get what we deserve.
Well, they don't look in the schools anymore without a little bit of supervision and control of what's going on at that particular time of day. I've been there too, and I've experienced just that.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll let you see what they want you to see, and the things that what you're talking about, people are not aware. But a lot of what you're saying too is leading into my next question or point that I wanted to bring out and see if you know anything about things to unfold, informing the people, waking up. I don't know if you are familiar with, I know it's been a big talk in the last 2 to 3 years, to have the EBS, the broadcasting of everything that's been going on or that has gone on or will happen or and why.
When you say EBS, are you talking about the PBS?
Public it's the broadcast system. It's supposed to be like an unfolding, like informing us of like the tribunals, the people that are the treasonous, the people that's supposed to be hanged and this, that, and the other, and all of the crookedness that's been going on in the government.
What does EBS stand for? I'm not sure that I've heard of that.
Emergency Broadcast System.
Oh, okay, the Emergency Broadcast System. That I'm familiar with, yeah. Trump made a big thing about that a couple of years back, And he warned the news when the time comes that they better be obedient to the emergency broadcast system, and they'd be able to take it over anyway. But whatever resistance they might try to pull through would prove treasonous immediately. You know, eventually the truth will prevail and will come through all of these different networks that have been, you know, controlled by the deep state or the elitist or the New World Order or however, you know, they're all part of the same thing to different degrees, sort of. But in any event, the truth will prevail eventually. Right now we see it happening. We see world peace coming to arise. We don't deserve world peace, but it's going to happen. We're going to have world peace. You know, we're going to have an economy, a repaired economy. We're going to go back to gold and silver. I do hope our courts are going to be brought back to courts of justice. It does seem that's working towards that. The key thing or solution to that is sort of a question. Does the Trump administration, which, by the way, there's a lot of bar attorneys in his administration, even though they got their eyes on the prize to do the right thing and they seem to be righteous and they really want to bring justice back to play. Lawyers are incapable of seeing the understanding and the idea that that the law that they've been taught is a lie. That it was taught by the elite for the purpose of suppressing and controlling the people. It's called civil law. And it goes all the way back to Babylonian law. It's also called the law of the city. The whole purpose is to control and the people. And if the people get out of line, to penalize them and chastise them and punish them. And that's what civil law is. That's what it's all about. It's man's law. Well, we're not under man's law. We're under God's law. This is what I don't think. Well, I don't. It's hard for lawyers to get this into their brain, their thick skulls, because they've been taught the lie to begin with. They were primed in the lowest walls when they were growing up, and then they went and they spent their parents spent thousands of dollars to send them many thousands, hundreds of thousands, in the higher education level. To give them the ability to be an attorney, to a bar attorney, and they're taught the civil law. They're taught the common law is trial court decisions. That's it. That's total insanity. Total insanity. And they don't see that insanity, and they've been taught that, and somehow they've got to be broken away from that. I don't know how. I don't know that that's even possible. I know I've had conversations with many lawyers, and you can't get through to them. You just can't get through to them. They think I'm crazy. They think I haven't had a formal education. You know, I'm self-educated, so I'm not caught up in all of that craziness. But they paid thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars for their education. Who do they think that I am that I should be able to come up and correct them? You know, they won't even listen, and that's the problem. They shut the door, and you know it's not what you don't know that's going to get you. It's what you think you know and ain't so. That's what's going to get you, and that's the problem we have, even with this administration. And Trump is not a lawyer, and he hasn't looked into the law. He sort of rests on working with lawyers and letting them do their job, I don't know, and we've written papers to him, we've done presentments to him, we tried to explain things to him, and hopefully it takes root in him. and we've copied all of his administration, about 40 of them all together, people who are working to try to save this nation, and many of them, 50, 60, maybe more percent, is lawyers, so that's the uphill battle there. So are we ever going to really get our courts of justice back, you know? It appears we're moving in that direction. He's doing a lot of the right things, but they have not revealed the fact that they understand what a true republic is. And we're not just a republic. You know, there's hundreds of republics in this world. You know, China is a republic. Iran or Iraq is a republic. You know, and that identifies with the law. And the question is who writes the law? You see, and that's the big thing. You see, we're the only natural law republic in the world. There's only one, and that's the United States of America. Now, and a natural law republic, it really brings us right back to the Bible. Okay, that's who we are as a people. And natural law ultimately is not anything difficult. It's really, it can be simply defined as common sense with an eye on justice. That's it. Doesn't get any more difficult than that. Listen to the facts. We don't need to be, you know, guided by any statutes or regulations or any of those things. All that is irrelevant in a court, a true court of law. So, anyway, we're in big trouble. People need to wake up.
Indeed. So my last little thing that I wanted to mention, hopefully it's not sounding too redundant to somebody else, but the mill rate, somebody had mentioned at the beginning here, let me see here, the value of the increase of a home. How can somebody just literally manipulate the value of a home without it being, what is it, you go just before you buy a home and stuff. But is that not fraud?
Well, everything they do is fraud. Look at the value of the home is none of the government's business ultimately, but it is governed to a major degree by inflation and the value of that home to the dollar. What you have to realize now, this is going to be a real, you know, people who have not paid attention to what's going on with money, they're going to find this hard to believe, but I'm going to tell you right now, the dollar is worth less than one penny. Okay,
oh.
If it's a penny, it's a lot. One penny, that's all it's worth, all right? You know, you go back to the, if you want to understand money and understand the value of money, you go back to the beginning of the 20th century. And for 100 years, our nation was, you know, in process for 100 years and nothing had ever changed. As the ratio is the silver to gold, 20 silver dollars. Equaled 1 ounce of gold, one gold dollar, okay? It's a $20 piece, a gold $20 piece. So a $20 piece was $20. Now each dollar is, we have paper money, and each dollar is supposed to be representing one silver dollar. Kennedy even pushed the silver certificate to try to destroy the Fed. They killed him for that. Killed him for a lot of reasons. There's a lot more he did other than that. So when I was young, okay, you know, a pizza pie was $1.10 or $1.15 for a pizza pie. Okay, you go buy a candy bar, you go buy a candy bar for a nickel. Okay, you pay $2.50 or $2. At least here in New York, we're paying that for a candy bar. So you can see the relationship. Now, what is gold to silver ratio? What is gold in dollars? You know, gold, I heard, is over $3,000 an ounce. I mean, an ounce of gold is a $20 piece in the beginning of the 20th century. They have totally destroyed our economic system, totally destroyed it. Trump is bringing it back, though. And he's got to fix things on this level first before he can shift over, I believe, to gold and silver, because he's got to bring some ratios back to being. You know, the best investment right now is silver. Okay, that's the best investment. And silver is going, you know, eventually climbing up. Like the ratio right now is 3,000 silver dollars to an ounce of gold. Think about that. Okay. Now, that's not true, though, because, you know, silver, you could buy junk silver, which is silver coins, you know, half dollars, the quarters, the dimes, and the silver dollars. Okay. You can buy them. I know when I bought mine, I was paying $12 for silver, so that's actually a little cheaper than that because it was $12 for an ounce of silver. Right now, I'm not sure what it is, but it I think it's something like 27 or 30 bucks, somewhere around it. You know, it keeps going. It's going to go up and up. Eventually, silver may overtake gold, and eventually it'll come back down. But it, you know, it's all about supply and demand, and I hear that there is a big demand for silver, and there's not enough to supply it. And they had to maintain, they had to keep silver cheap, though, because silver ran the economy with a lot of things, especially with the electronics. So anything with electronics has silver. But it's a mess. It's a mess.
What is the most reliable way to buy silver? Because I've looked at it, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to buy anything online. I want to, like, you know, have my hands on it.
Yeah, you want to go to a place that sells silver. So I look at it's cheaper to buy silver coins than it is to buy silver pieces. Okay, mainly because silver coins have 90% silver, and I think it's 10% copper. Okay, so, you know, it's a little cheaper. It's maybe a buck or two cheaper, depending on where the price is now, you know. But, you know, so you can get the silver coins cheaper, but the value is face value, and it's backed up and guaranteed by the government. So the face value, even on any coin, eventually will have to be honored at some point when they do the break and bring us back to gold and silver. But there are places, if you ask the question next week, I'll try to look up the place where is definitely a good place to go, the cheapest, and they give you the best deals going. And you don't want to buy silver or any kind of metal and leave someone else hold it. you want it in your possession, you know. So, junk silver, the silver dollars, the silver quarters, silver half dollars, the silver dimes, it's called junk silver. I don't know why they call it junk silver, but that's what they call it. And that is, I don't think there's any better investment than silver, particularly junk silver. I don't think there's anything better.
Yes, but
it's still very low, you know. The ratio is something like, it's over 100 to 1. And when everything gets back, it'll return back to 20 to 1, the ratio. So 20 silver dollars or 20 ounces of silver will be equal to a $20 gold piece or 20 ounces of, 1 ounce of gold. Okay, that ratio is where it'll go back to. If you get rid of inflation, that's the ratio it has to go back to. And so just think about that. It's 90 to, it's 100 to 1, 90 to 1. Yeah, I don't have, it's been a long time since I've looked. As a matter of fact, if you go up on our website under Start a Committee of Safety, and you come down to Handbook, Videos, and Tools, we have the paper up here. And it's called 2 cents worth. And I updated this a couple of times. Let me see if I can find this. Where is this? Cents to, oh, I think this is it here, coming on this level. Okay. We also have the eighth grade test. We're a bunch of morons. We can't even pass an eighth grade test going back into 1895, you know? Oh,
are you
here.
Smart? No. Huh? Are we smarter than a fifth grader? No.
Right. I mean, I don't. Everybody should download this eighth grade test and see if you could take it. I haven't met anyone yet who could pass that test.
Education.
Okay. Here's when I first wrote this paper, it was 2 cents. 2 cents, a penny's worth 2 cents. Now it's 3/4 of a penny worth. Before it was two pennies worth. But the inflation had changed, and this my original. I did this back originally in, I think it was 2008 maybe, and I updated it maybe a year or two ago. I think a year ago, and the penny at that point was 3/4 of a penny equals a dollar. That's the value of a dollar right now, 3/4 of a penny. Okay, that's how bad it is. So, you know, you can go read through this. A loaf of bread in 1913 was 6 cents. Today we're paying 2.50, 3.50 maybe even. A gallon of gas back in was 12 cents. You know, it's over $3 now. A gallon of milk was 35 cents. You know, you're paying over $4. I'm going at New York prices, and they're not even New York City prices, and that's even higher than what my numbers that I'm familiar with. A dozen of eggs was 37 cents. I know we're paying $4.99 right now. It had gone up to like $8 or $9, but Trump came in and he got it down to $4.99, at least here where I live, you know. So, I mean, it just goes to tell you, you know, a new car was $490 for a new car back in 1913. You're paying, you know, about $40,000 for a new car in our day. Okay, a new house was just under $4,000. Okay, today an average of new house is $117,000. People don't understand this, how bad that they have destroyed us. We're ready for a total all-out collapse. This was going to be worldwide. And that was their plan, to bring us to devalue money, to devalue the minds of our children, demoralize them, and kill us as much as they can. Our food is poison, our water is poison, our air is poison. We're in trouble. And only the people can save America. Trump can give it back to us. He said, I was not elected to take power, but I was elected to take power and give it back to the people. Well, he can give it back to the people, and I do believe he's doing that, but the people aren't capable of taking it. They don't know how to have government by consent. They don't want to put the time into having government by consent. They don't want to read books and learn about government by consent.
We relearn everything. We have to shovel everything out of our minds that we have been socialized to know and relearn what is supposed to be truth.
Yep. Well, look at this. Let me read a few more. This is in 1945 now. A choice apartment at 125 East 93rd Street, okay, which is between Park and Lexington Avenue. This is Ritchie area. But back then in 1945, it was $125 a month. And for a three-bedroom room, it was $165 a month. You're not touching anything down there in that area for anything, maybe $8,000, $9,000 a month. Okay, so it's really bad. You know, a ferry ride to Staten Island or Jersey cost a nickel. Mail used to be 3 cents. Before that, it was 2 cents, but they had raised it to 3 cents. And that hasn't been changed legislation-wise. So even all the mail keeps going up. It's what's the letter? I think it's like 80 cents to mail a letter now. And there's no authority to raise that. I don't know. It's a mess. It's a mess. Anyway, you can download this paper and take a look at it. It's up under Start a Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, and you'll find it in here. Also, okay. The great test.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next caller. It looks like, is that Tony, maybe, from Pennsylvania? You got the mic.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. So I'm talking about this Committee of Safety. So the thing is, I got your book, the Committee of Safety Handbook, and I've been trying to read all of your books, and it's really tough to, like, sit and, you know, do your videos, because that takes time out of our day, and when I'm sitting here trying to tell the grandchildren, get off your phones, and I'm on my laptop or I'm on my cell phone, and it's not working for me anymore. I'm tired. I'm literally getting burnt out from videos and black screen or blue screens or whatever. I don't want to go out and buy more glasses or whatever they're saying about watching your computer. I'm disabled. So the whole thing is I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this book on your page 67 and 66 and 67 with your Committee of Safety, the County Committee of Safeties, and you show that you have Pennsylvania was established on May 28th, I guess it's 2014. So who established that, and where do I find the information or find people? Because I'm having a hard time recruiting people in Montgomery County.
It's really difficult. I agree. I'm not even sure whether America could be saved. I don't think the world can be saved, to be honest with you. We may be at that brink where it's just never going to happen. Because, look, we got AI. And people.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody using AI. I have not used it. I won't go near it. I don't care to use it. I'm just not going to use it. And smartphones, I'm not going to use that either. I drew the line there. I mean, I'm computerized. I'm heavily computerized, and I understand a lot about computers to a degree anyway, more than most people anyway. I mastered lots of different programs. I use it for things. I've written books and, you know, use the word processor to do so and all this other stuff. But the thing is, AI is going to be writing books. People aren't going to write books no more. They're going to go to AI, hey, write me a book on this subject, maybe give it a little bit of details, a little this or that, and then write the book. And then AI published the book for me. Okay, people are not going to write books. You know, nothing. Okay, movies, I don't think you're going to see real people in movies eventually. You know, they got AI. What do they need real people for? You know, it's a lot cheaper with AI. You tell AI what kind of movie you want, what you want, the scenes, you make some descriptions, you make some changes, and there it is. You put it out, it's done. It's a mess, okay? And, you know, I mentioned this. You got the link that they want to put into people's brains, which will bring you to the internet and computers. And you got AI. Everybody's going to have your own AI. They're going to make it dirt cheap. Musk, they
well, it's on our computers already. Like it pops up here, Google always, and I'm like, okay, I do not want you to write this for me. I'm doing it myself, and yeah, I tried blocking it. I can't do that. But I'm like, my question is, so I still am getting. I'm a mouth in our Montgomery County. I've lived here my whole life. And so lots of people know me, and I got invited to one of our school board candidates' event last night. And the whole thing is about election integrity. And it wasn't my event. I can't just stand up and say, hey, do you guys even know what I've done for the Montgomery County Committee of Safety? Because one of the supervisors, the county commissioners were there, and, you know, he blows up saying, oh, I was on the school board for 12 years, and this young man, he knows what he's talking about. He's better than all the school board members right now, which we know they are retarded. Sorry to say that, if I offend anybody. But, I wanted to get up and walk out. I didn't, because I've built relationships with these people. But to talk to them about a committee of safety and going back to the one woman asked me, what is it you do? And I said, it's similar like to the how the Mayflower Compact was instituted here on this land. They all came off the boat. They decided that how do I go about keeping order when I move up into the mountains or if I go north or if I go south. And I explained to them about the sheriff and a recorder. Someone had to keep a record of this stuff. So, and the sheriff kept order. You all elected the people to do this kind of thing. And then you went about your business. Do no harm. Do not trespass were the two laws here that we have internally. So I'm looking at your books and I've read your books. So I'm trying to figure out who created this and where did it come from 52814 in Pennsylvania?
Okay, now, you said, what are you talking about? There's a committee of safety in Montgomery County, you're saying?
Yeah, I did the recording of documents down at the county courthouse.
Okay, but let's talk about the committee of safety, though. Is the person who organized it named Tony? I think it's
that's me.
T-O-N-I? Okay, that's so you organized it and put your number up here?
Yes.
Okay. And now, so you're now bringing people. How many people do you have in your committee of safety at the moment, roughly?
Right now, that are very active, are just active, is four of us women.
Okay.
You've given me, Jan has sent me a list of people. I've called every single one of them, emailed them. I had another person from our team contact them. Most of them were unreachable, like wrong phone numbers or messages full. We had gotten one guy that came to one of our meetings, and now he's MIA, and we don't even know why. He just goes.
This is the problem. People are complacent, and now people, it's even worse than it was before. At least the Ron Paul movement was very, very active. I mean, it was easy to get people involved. I mean, the Ron Paul groups just grew very quickly, you know.
Okay.
And then you also had the Tea Party. They, too, grew very quickly. People were involved. They were active. Okay, But now that Trump's been elected, and you know, those things kind of just fell apart from the wayside. You know, people got complacent and I guess depressed and so on and so forth, and they just don't exist no more. Ron Paul movements, I don't know of any Ron Paul groups at all.
I've been going to our like their local or the other people's tea parties, like Lehigh County, you know, outside of Allentown. I've gone to Delaware County.
Are they running a pretty decent amount of people? Are they active?
Oh, yeah. The Lehigh Valley has like 15,000 members. But you can't get in there and just talk. Like, they have their own. They literally just changed their name to MAGA Lehigh.
What happened was the Tea Party was taken over, okay? And I remember watching it when it was happening And I was trying to you know, sort of blow the whistle on it, that this is a problem, don't get involved with this. And other people were doing that too, realizing, because all of a sudden you had a national group that made a claim that they were the Tea Party, and they were connecting with all these Tea Parties throughout America, all different levels, on the grassroots levels, and they were doing tours and different things. And so really, to some degree, they've been taken over. But if you've got 15,000 people, okay, in a particular group, I don't know, that's pretty big to begin with.
No, 1,500, I'm sorry. Did I say 1,500
to 2,000? Yeah, I think it's at 1,500, yeah. So if you've got 100 people, I mean, that's pretty big to begin with. But you got to remember, whoever is in the leadership of that, leadership has to turn over. You can't have a chairman.
I just said, they just, he started it, I guess, like 10 years ago or something, the older guy, and then he had a stroke, so he just passed it over to a younger guy. They call us, the meeting is once a month, but it's also on the same night like everybody else's meetings are, so we can't even get to, you know, I'm down the house.
What you might want to do is try to get to the leadership of that and get them out to look at some of the videos that we have on the committees of safety, what the structure is. You see, the Tea Party movement is kind of reinventing the wheel, okay? And I was involved with that too. I had no knowledge of committees of safety. I didn't know anything about that kind of a thing. You know, so I was involved, and everything was being recreated, okay? And a lot of problems is they don't understand how the political process works. They don't understand, and we're not talking politics, because they got involved in politics, and that's the big problem. We don't want to get involved in politics. We need to get involved in the political process, okay? And so they need to understand how that structure works, how people get put onto the ballots, how the structures within the different election districts work.
Well, that's where they follow, like, the GOPs and stuff like that, like our Montgomery County. But that's a separate county. That's Lehigh County. I'm Montgomery County. So it's kind of like I can't even get the Montgomery County people, like, lighting a fire underneath their butts to, like, can you look at this? So there was another guy that reached out to me from Bucks County last week. There a woman and a guy. It's right for Bucks. In Bucks County, there's a lot going on here in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you know about the school, and they want to implement the vaccines and vaccinate their children regardless. They want to without no exemptions, no medical, no.
Who's pushing that?
They're Bucks County commissioners and stuff. That's not my county, but the people reached out to me because they said, how can we go ahead? So I met with the guys last week, Monday. I gave them a book. They came onto your website. They said they signed up. They're going to be looking at some of your educational program, like your videos and stuff. And now, you know, over the weekend, I would say, hey, did you look at them? Did you like what you see? Are you going to come up on Monday night and get onto your website? And I said, read the book. If you have any questions, do a Q&A with John and Jan. Email your questions over the weekend that you have.
Get into the queue early, and, you know, we can talk. You know, so they can come and we can talk. And if they want me to do a presentment for them, I'll do a presentment, maybe over some program, you know.
Well, they asked me to do a presentation for them on August 23rd at a picnic, and I'm like, I have no clue, basically, what the hell I'm doing, because I'm still in Montgomery County.
If they want me to do a presentment for their group, Maybe through Zoom or something, or some other platform that we can use.
Okay, so it's August 23rd is their picnic. They asked me on Friday to do this.
Well, first of all, I couldn't jump in that quick, number one. But number two, I can't come there. I'd have to do it.
No, I know that.
And they'd have to set something up so that people can hear and see what's going on.
But they do. This guy has, he has like 1,500 followers himself. It's right for bucks.
Bear in mind, and this is the problem. You know, you got a lot of different groups, and they have membership, and, you know, what happens is most of those people are not active. It's no different anywhere you go. It's the same thing. You know, a lot of people aren't active.
I just can't get a light under anybody's butt, and I don't know why. Well, is it me or what? Like, I don't know. I have every other night is, every other week is our committee of safety meeting, and I put an agenda together. I mean, I could send it to you guys, and you could review it and look at it and say, okay, maybe you need a little bit here or a little bit there on education or something. Like, I don't know what – I really don't know what that's come doing.
Look, it starts with a small group of people, and you build as time goes on. And you got to realize that no one person's going to know everything. I mean, to some degree, you will eventually get someone who wants to know everything, and they will work diligently, and they will come to be able to be expert to some degree of everything that we're doing. You know, the most important, you have the education committee. That's an extremely important. All these important committees you have to have. Someone focusing in on education and making plans and going to talk to school boards and getting the people to go to those meetings. Everyone should go to that meeting when you go to see the school board. There's also the militia committee. There's the judiciary committee.
Wait. I read all those. The whole thing is that they're all, everybody around me is all stuck on this whole GOP thing. I can't.
You think that's the solution? Parties is the destruction. It's not the solution. And even though that you got the mega movement that is taking control of the Republican Party, it's still the Republican Party, and it's still controlled by
corrupt. Yeah.
Okay. And it's just going to be, you look at Washington was very clear on this, but all our founding fathers were very clear on this. They wanted nothing to do with parties. Parties are destructive. And parties will do nothing. Washington spent two-thirds at least of his farewell address concern in talking about factions, which are parties. And he believed that if this doesn't stop, they were dealing with the Federalists back in those days, and he said, look, if this doesn't stop, this is going to be the destruction of America. Political parties will be the destruction of America. Jefferson had a different point of view. He believed but he agreed with that, of course. But his big focus was on the judges and the courts. He says that the judiciary is going to be the destruction of America. Well, guess what? They both are and were. They both were and are the destruction of America. The Bar Association and the minions of the New World Order, they've totally destroyed our courts of justice. They've closed down our courts of justice. They've moved in civil law, we're under Babylonian law, we're under the thumb of the government, and it is nothing but destructive. You can't win in those courts. Everybody's against you. The prosecutor's against
right.
you. They've set the stage for the jury, the grand jury to be against you. The trial jury's against you. Look, they set the stage. They're all stacked. The judge is against you. Even your own lawyer is against you.
Yes.
To the end of the game, because he'll be brought into by the judge and say, "Look, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about that. And don't you dare bring that Constitution into my courtroom." Believe me, this is the conversations they have. I'm telling you,
I was a paralegal, so I know what they did. But I also went. We had elected a sheriff in our Montgomery County, but now he moved to a different county, so I don't feel. He's not close enough to do anything and meet up with us and stuff like that, educate us or things that he's been doing. But I also went to a credit. Some people are stuck on this SDQ trust, okay? But Trump's changing that too for people, and they want to know how are they going to get their money. Like, that's not the point I'm trying to get to them. That's in the future. And if Trump passes $150 trillion around out there, then, yeah, let him give that money back to the people or something or whatever.
People will benefit. eventually, economically speaking. And he's got a plan. He kind of released some, he kind of gave some hints of some information that people on the low income, Social Security, and different things, that he's going to do something about that soon. And, you know, he's looking to raise the amount of money that's being, you know, received under the, especially Social Security, and also looking to get some checks out to people. He hasn't said that, okay? They have sort of talked about that when Doge was really in big operation, everybody was focusing in on that, but you know, but nothing has been spoken about that since. But the thing is he is planning to do something, and I think it's going to be soon, you know, months maybe before the end of the year. I don't know, but going back to trying to get people educated on what we're doing, you know, when you start a committee of safety. If you go back to the start a committee of safety page,
I did some of those. Yeah,
look on the handbook. Well, every time you come to a meeting, you should play one of these videos for this for small group of people that attend. You know, you're building it up, but you got to build some basic knowledge and an understanding of where you're heading to. You know, where you're at is one thing, but where you're heading to is another thing. So you need to go through all these videos. I created these videos to really focus in on the key. A subcommittee is necessary, and what their job is and what needs to be done. So people should go and, you know, in the beginning, you watch a video, you discuss it. Next, watch a video, discuss it, the next meeting, and so on. But when people come and join, they have to catch up, and you send them to this page to watch the videos at their speed. You know, you just watch the videos, watch one a week, and just, you know, meditate a little bit on
it. That's just it, that people aren't doing it. Yeah, we had seven people that signed up, and then, you know, I show them this, like, you got to go on here, you got to open up this up and then start doing this, and I don't get it. I don't understand.
They're busy tweeting. Look at, they don't understand, look at, you know, the Constitution is not going to defend itself. It requires the people. It's very clear, the foundation of our law, which is common law, and the Declaration of Independence is very clear on what who we are as a people, and it says that we have government by the consent of the people. Well, the people can't be ignorant. If they're going to consent, they have to have some knowledge, and this is good. We're trying to give the knowledge that's necessary. You can get further. We have a higher education here at National Liberty Alliance, but the basics, okay, is found in the basic courses that we put together, and these videos for bringing together the committees of safety. But you see, once you get you can't even really approach the, you got to approach the sheriff. You got to bring the sheriff into the game too. But you really can't approach the sheriff until you have maybe 20 people. Okay, so once you have 20 people or more, that's when you approach the sheriff, and you have to prime the sheriff. We have a plan on how to prime the sheriff, and then you. You know, woo him along and bring him in and empower him through things that you give him, and then eventually have that meeting and you ask questions. And if it's a negative situation, you know, that they didn't read, they don't know the answers, they don't know the Constitution, and then it's a little bit of hardball. Look at buddy, you know, you're sheriff and you don't even know the law. You know, we're trying to help you. We're giving you all this information. We don't want to embarrass you or anything, but look at, if you're not going to learn the law, we need to get someone else, because we need a law enforcer, because right here in this county, we don't have a law enforcer. You see, but I think, you know, when you spoon feed the sheriff, we have a plan, we teach people. It takes a couple of months before you can bring the sheriff in for the real first meeting. I mean, you'll have a 5 or 10 minute meeting just to introduce yourself, give them a copy of your paperwork that you put together. You know, you've got the charter and the resolutions, yeah. And you give him a copy of that. You got the seal, everything. And then he understands what you do and who you are, okay? And you give him a copy of the book, Government by Consent. You give him a copy of the book, or you can print it out, PDF, but it's better with getting the handbook. It's only a few dollars, you know, with the sheriff's handbook. You give him a few copies of that. They're pretty cheap. And then you know, you're giving them time to maybe a month or two to digest that. So you're making a plan that, hey, look, we're going to give you a call a little next month and try to set a date, and you come talk to our group.
Oh, he's corrupt, and he's paid. Our sheriff department is paid for by our county commissioners.
Well,
commissioners with our documentation, and they pretty much try shutting us down during our presentation. So
He's come into a situation that the stage has been set for what his job is and so on and so forth, and he doesn't know anybody. He's as ignorant as you and I are or were, and so he's just following through. But, you know, a lot of these sheriffs may be corrupt and not realize that they're corrupt, and some of them are really corrupt and they know they're corrupt, but generally speaking, you know, they're controlled to some degree. But if you can liberate them, and you're only going to get liberated them, you know, through knowledge. That's how you get liberated. So you liberate them through knowledge. And once you can liberate them through knowledge, okay, then you have a whole new game here. But the thing is if you can't liberate him, if you can't make him to see what his job really is and by what powers and authority he acts and what the law truly is, and you know, they don't even understand how powerful they are, okay? They just don't know. All this power they got the biggest power. I mean, as far as within
right. Until the coroner, right.
Yeah. So, right. If you can't get them to turn over to do the right thing, it's a very simple thing: do a recall, push for another election. You'll get other people coming in. You have the opportunity to groom someone and give them the information. Say, we'll support you if you wanna. If you're gonna execute the Constitution and your powers and be a just law enforcer. So,
yeah. Thank you, man.
We do have a few other people. It's getting late.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, wireless caller, 806 area code number, first name and state. You got the mic.
Oh, hi.
Yep.
Hi. I'm Annette from Texas. What's I'm... Uh-huh.
What's your first name?
Annette.
Okay, go ahead. We got the mic.
Okay. I was wondering, do you have a list of all the courts throughout the nation that you sent the documents to become common law courts again?
Well, we're working on that. We have to take the federal courts back before we can get the state courts back and even the county courts. But so we're working on the federal level. I mean, we've been involved in all of the courts at every level, many different states. Not that we get anywhere, but, you know, again, they all do the same thing. They all, you know, are corrupt. You know, their action and what they do, like denial of habeas corpuses, that's just evidence against them. And so we've compiled a lot of evidence against the federal judges, but also against some state judges too, but really focusing on the federal. In order to take back the state courts, we have to get the federal courts back first. Once we get the federal courts back, then we can move any problems we have in state courts into the federal court for denial of due process. And we can sue these people, or we can get enforcement to obey the law and be obedient and so on. At some point, we should be able to even move a lot of these judges. They've shut down courts of justice. Any court that shuts down a court of justice, then that judge has to be removed. And every single one of them have done that. So, but yeah. One of our plans is to build administrators for orientating and bringing together the juries, whether it's a grand jury or a petit jury, on the county level. And that's a paid job. We're looking for five people, four administrators and one paralegal, and the paralegal needs to be an administrator also, so there's actually five. But we need one paralegal and four individuals, all educated on how to be an administrator, and teach them how to orientate the juries and to assist them in different ways. We're writing a handbook on that. We haven't finished that yet. I just haven't had the time to get to it, and we're not that close enough yet that it's really a burden at the moment. But in any event, we have 3,134 counties, so we need, let's say 369, we need about 12,000 people, 15,000 people nationwide to take those positions. Now, that's paid positions because we're looking to take it away from the bar because they control it right now, when the people should control it. So we put together a process, really working with the controller and dealing with the people's courts, and so that's something we're trying to get people to educate themselves on, that to take those positions, but they're not ready to take yet. You're not going to get anything going in the state courts that's going to give you justice. I haven't found a court anywhere yet that you're going to get justice at.
Yeah, I know. I tried to open up a federal case at our federal court here, and they basically wanted me, the municipal judge wanted me to prove my case before I could even get it in front or get it into the court so that we could present evidence in court. And so they wanted me to give all my evidence now. Well, I don't want to give all the evidence now. I don't want them giving anybody a heads up. I don't know who all is corrupt, and most of them are, from what I can see.
From what I've come, my experience, I've been in courts for a long time, and I've been in a lot of them, and I'm telling you, they're all corrupt. It's sad to say they're all corrupt. There is no Bill of Rights in the courts. They do not honor the Constitution. They don't even honor their own laws, because I've won cases using their laws, applying against them, and they still refuse to be obedient, and they kick you out of the courts all day long. It's a horror story. The courts are a mess.
Yeah, it is, and so. So I just put in a motion to dismiss, you know, without prejudice, and so I'm hoping to maybe rethink it and go back and file again. But
here's what I suggest: continue to get educated, continue to write cases, but don't file them. But just, you know, then you come back to the case, and because you see, when you write a case and then you walk away from it for a days or a week or whatever, you know, if my case is going to be active, I'll walk away for a couple of days and I'll come back and in a couple of days, you know, I will go through my case 10 times at least. Literally rewriting pieces, looking for better words, better phrases to use, looking for other things to support it better, so on and so forth. And so you know, you work hard to perfect your case, but get educated, work on perfecting the case. But don't, I wouldn't bother, depending on what it is, I wouldn't bother filing anything that can wait until we have at least the inkling of a possibility of courts of justice returning. And again, we may get courts of justice on the federal level. I mean, we've done everything we can to educate Trump. As a matter of fact, maybe next week I'll start off the program looking in on a presentment we sent to Trump to educate him. And people can see exactly. Yeah, I mean, you can go up and read it anyway. It's on the front page for anyone that's looking at the desktop here. It's on the front page. You come right almost in the beginning. Presentment to President Trump and AG Bondi. And right before that, we had another presentment to President Trump. So the first presentment would be the third one down, I think. And that's where we tried to educate. But second presentment also was to educate not only Trump, but AG Bondi also. So presentment to both of them. And so these papers here, really, everyone should read all these papers. You know, we did a presentment to the United States Supreme Court. We did an indictment upon the federal judiciary. We did a presentment to President Trump. We've copied President Trump on everything we've been doing. We did a presentment to President Trump and A.G. Bondi. We've copied everything on A.G. Bondi, even going back to things we'd done before she became the Attorney General. Then we did a redress of grievances to open natural law courts to the United States Supreme Court. And then we filed a cover letter with a copy of this to President Trump and his administration. So again, our whole purpose and focus really has been to educate the president and the people around him. And hopefully they're being educated, and hopefully they're taking us serious, and hopefully they're going to see the truth. The light will come through, maybe.
Well, President Trump, well, from a video that I saw earlier today, President Trump did mention that the people do have a right to redress of grievances. And And so, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, I know he's hearing us. He's hearing things that we're sending because I've sent things to him too. But we're not able to get into the courts at all. And I can't even get the judge to send me a response back to the last thing that I wrote.
Yeah, look, they're going to ignore you. And sometimes they'll ignore you for months and then finally do a paper and just throw you out of court. And then you want to think on whether you want to do the appellate process and so on and so forth. So,
I didn't want to give all my information now because of the fact that they were throwing out all of these things and threatening me with sanctions and all this other stuff. And I don't want to give them more ammo, you know.
Well, they're looking. They want to know what you have because they want to figure their strategy to blow it out of the water and destroy you maybe even. But what are you talking? Are you talking about criminal activities?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I've had five bank accounts.
To a grand jury. You're not going to get to a grand jury. That's another problem. They've closed the doors. They will block you from going to a grand jury. There was a guy, he was in the service. I think he was a lieutenant or something, and he's retired, and he was trying to do some things with the court. He wanted to go talk to the grand jury, and he was working for a couple of years trying to get to the grand jury, and they did everything they could to block this guy, and then they arrested him for stalking the grand jury, if you can imagine that. Okay, they arrested him for that, and they gave him 2 years in jail.
Oh, wow.
So they don't let you get to the grand jury. They don't want, because you're going to, when you bring things in, they don't know what you're exposing, and they're protecting themselves and their buddies.
Of course.
But listen, I got to move on. We're over time. I want to give a minute or two to two other people, and before we close down. So, you have a final statement before we move to the last two people?
Well, I just wanted to know if you had a list of all the judges that you have sent it to, because
the papers that we're working on and have been working on, it went to the United States Supreme Court, and it went to Trump and every person in his administration and some senators and if you read the papers, you'll see the list of everybody we've copied in this. Okay.
Well, I did see that. Yeah, I did read it. I have been reading them, and I did see that, but I was just wondering. Are the ones you sent it to. Okay.
And prior to that, you know, you can come under federal court cases in the blue bar to the far right, and you can come down. We have action against the judiciary. We've got a lot of papers in there. We have, the grand jury docket. We had some investigations we had done, but the key thing I think is the action against the judiciary, because you'll find a lot of papers that we filed in there. We sent to the Attorney General, Sessions when he was there, Barr when he was there, and now we're going to Pam Bondi. So the last three Attorney Generals, we were copying them. We didn't copy anything. I don't know who the Attorney General was during the Biden's term, but we didn't copy anything during that time period. We thought that it was worthless. But anyway, we got a lot of papers there, and you can get a lot of information and see who we went up to and who we filed with. And then we filed, of course, like I said, with the Attorney Generals, and we also filed we opened a court case in the Northern District here in New York for the sole purpose for a place to file all our papers. And then, of course, we filed up here on the website. So.
Okay, I just wanted to know, so I'll probably send you an email with an idea that I have and just have you kick your opinion back to me, whatever, on it. So.
Right, well, we'll try to do what we can here on the open forum. And it's the purpose of open forum, so we can have communications to the people and be accessible.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're going to move. We've got a couple people late. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we got two more callers, but I'm only going to spend a minute or two with each one because we're really late. Brett, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Brett, you there? Last call for Brett. Okay, we'll move to our last caller. Big guy, you got the mic. We only got a minute or two. Got to close down. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Richard from Fargo, North Dakota. See, I was listening earlier. I sent to NLA, to Jan, and Scott McKay, that Patriot Street Fighter thing, he had a program on about, I think, August 8th or 7th, something like that. But it was a report, but it was kind of long. But if you go to the middle of it, And I sent it to Jan. I said, here, he had a listing, and he's been having some access to some things, like you were saying earlier, we don't all have access to. But he cited dates, times of who's been already executed. And Obama was one of them. And he made reference to
a lot of reports. I've heard a lot of reports.
I don't know if there's any truth in it, but anyway.
I've heard a lot of reports over the years of that type of thing. I've heard of underground wars going on many, many years back when she was in operation. I never ran with any of that stuff because I didn't see, you see one person here talking about it here or there, and it's not really throughout. If that was real, I think all of these podcasters and that have been working, like let's take X22 has been around about 10 years, maybe more. Okay, he's been around a long time, so he's paid his dues. And he's become very sophisticated. He's very good. He seems to get a lot of inside information. He's consistent, and others kind of pick up on this lot of stuff at a later date. What he brings up, so he's really good. So it's someone he's trustworthy, and he doesn't talk about those things. But there's a lot of people out there that have grown. They've matured. I think a lot of these people are going to become the regular news eventually because they really have worked at this. And maybe this is the way of the future anyway. Maybe forget about network news. Maybe this is the way, they come out on podcasting and they get big followings, I mean, you got Joe Rogan, he doesn't necessarily do the news, but he talks about all kinds of subjects. But look, he's got millions of people following him. So we got a lot of people out there. I think we're going to bring the news out, and it's worthy. But look at that stuff. I'd have to hear from a lot of good sources, and I'd really have to hear it from sources that I have trusted. And so I've never run with that stuff. I don't believe it's true. I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
And putting that out,
Okay. And as a follow-up to my case thing, I did meet with the lawyer today. And he feels a lot of cases are that attorneys don't get, or landlords and property managers don't get attorneys when they do things. And he said most of the time they've done something outside of the contract terms. In my case, I told him about I did not get the 60-day notice. And he said that's what's going to go on. But the question I had is on this. When I did get a copy, remember I mentioned that the police officer reported that he tried calling me several times and tried leaving a message. I went into my phone system and absolutely no record whatsoever at all. And I save even my deleted calls.
Well, the record is out there anyway.
Here's the question. I've got a copy of the officer's oath. And I was reading in the common law court handbook about if you're being arrested with a defective warrant. So here's my question. This is the thing. It is a violation of this section. And every year that they renew there, they have to take this oath to uphold the state and the federal constitution. To willfully lie, it is a violation to willfully lie, provide false testimonies, provide misleading information, or falsify written or verbal communication in reports when the information may be relied upon by the courts, state's attorneys, or other law enforcement officials. F, to willfully provide false testimony, evidence, or misleading information in an application for a search warrant, arrest warrant, or criminal complaint. Now, in his report, he said he, under penalty of perjury, he's saying this is a true and correct statement that he made, that he recommends that the defendant or that I be detained or whatever it is, incarcerated. And because I kept questioning, why am I in jail anyway? And he looked up my record under the attorney did, and I got a clean record. Why wouldn't they let me on in personal record, and why did they do an extradition thing? But anyway,
well, absolutely.
If I can, I'm going to ask for a copy of that police officer's confirmation that he called me, because all of these guys' phone calls, as I understand, are recorded. For obvious
reasons. Before you do that, go to your phone company, give them the months that you're looking for, and you want everything on your phone during those months. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts. I know it's there anyway. I know that they even have a copy of the texts. Now, that may not be necessarily held by the actual phone company that's supplying your service. I mean, I don't know one way or the other on that. But generally speaking, everything you do that's electronic that goes out into the air, whether it's through the phones and internet.
Correct.
And everything there's a record of. They got it.
I'm aware of that.
The question is
so with my phone. My phone is recorded.
Right. But your phone, okay, if he called and left a message, okay, that should be that your phone company should have record of that. Maybe not what message.
My phone does too. My phone tells me if I missed a call.
Right. But
the voicemails.
Hold on a minute.
Let me finish. On the voicemail, I'm just going to give you what I have here. On my phone, even when I delete it, I have it in my phone not to throw anything away, save, even deleted stuff. So I went into the records to look at my current calls. I had to delete because it was getting full of my voicemail thing, but and my missed calls that got full. But I deleted it, and I said, I don't want to throw anything away. I want to keep everything forever. And so I went in there, all the calls, even the cop that called me, the deputy, his was in there. I didn't know who it was. I deleted it, but it was in there that he had left a message, and I was able to play it again. And so... And that's why I'm saying, but if I can show that guy did not, you know, and I am going to ask for the police to, and I will do what you say. I'm going to go to the phone company as well and ask them for that. I'll call.
All you got to do is a list of numbers. Every number that came in or out of your phone, okay, they have a list of. And how much time was spent. Now, whether they have the voice mail, I doubt they have that, but that does exist somewhere else anyway. Finding it is another problem or situation.
Yeah,
they always try to deny that it even exists, but I don't think it's deniable anymore anyway.
Question is this, if I can show that his testimony was false and misleading, that's it's a false arrest, a defective warrant.
I agree with that, yes. But that's up to your lawyer to take care of that business, since you have a lawyer, and make sure that they do it. So, but, you know, look, bear in mind, they're not going to go up against the establishment. No lawyer is going to go up against a cop or the law enforcement. They're not going to go up against the judge or the court. They're just not going to do it, okay? So I don't know where you're looking to get with this. I mean, to prove one thing in the court is one thing, but to go after them is another thing. So,
all I want to do is
get the evidence and prove your points and move on with that, but you're not going to get a lawyer to go after them.
Yeah.
But with that,
well, I want to show that his report was false and misleading. Isn't that good enough? I don't have to sue anybody.
You want to win your
credibility.
Listen, you could do that and you can't, but if you wanted to go after them, I don't believe the lawyer is going to do that.
I agree with you. All I want to do is show that his report was misleading.
Okay, with that, we're ending the program.
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate that thing about going to the phone company. That's a good idea. All right. Thank you, sir.
Right. Thank you.
It even keeps track of unknown. I do get some that says unknown. I get those, too. And those are saved.
We all get that.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next time. Bye.